What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs lose game 82 to the Memphis Grizzlies last night. The standings are official. They're in and they're official. And they didn't fall perfectly for the Dubs, but also not too bad either. We'll get into that for sure. And then a special segment with me and my guys from Locked On Clippers previewing this first round matchup between the Warriors and Clips. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, and if you're looking for Locked On Warriors or any of the various podcasts from the Locked On Podcast Network, you can just go to the new podcasting app, Himalaya, or Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and when you get in your car, just tell your smart device to play Locked On Warriors or Locked On whatever team you follow. Or maybe you just want a little extra info on a certain team. Go to your smart device, tell them to play Locked On, and then that team. But it should probably just be Locked On Warriors, let's be honest. Last night, the Dubs take on the Memphis Grizzlies in Game 82 of the 2018-19 regular season and get their asses kicked. Not a big deal, though. A lot of players were out. Also, the last game, last week, 2 weeks of the season is pretty ridiculous, actually. You get some crazy stat lines. You get some crazy performances because the truth is a lot of these guys don't care. Their immediate future has already been decided in the fact that they're either going to be going to the playoffs and they're trying to conserve themselves for what lies ahead, or they're going to be going on vacation, and they're just ready to wrap it up. A little senioritis, so to speak, when it comes to the last couple weeks of the season. So last night, with a number of players out, Draymond, Steph, Boogie, the Dubs started Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Quinn Cook, Andrew Bogut, Jordan Bell. And I'm not going to get too much into this one. Klay and KD played well, but they only played basically the first half. And I mean, that's honestly it. The Grizzlies were hitting everything. It was a mix of the Dubs not really playing defense slash the Grizzlies just hitting a ton of shots. It's not like the Grizzlies are a team where you got to guard them tight or else they're going to be knocking down shots. They just, I don't know. They had one of these games where they were hitting everything. Justin Holiday went 5 of 10 from three. Javon Carter went 8 of 12 from three. The guy's like a 30% three-point shooter. So just one of those random end-of-the-year games. Not a lot to take from it. One thing I will say is my guy, Marcus Derrickson, as you all know, I'm a big fan of his, and I really hope that he's a part of the Warriors moving forward because he's going to have a future in the NBA, no question about it. In 8 minutes, scored 13 points, was 4 of 4 from three, shooting 50% from three on the year in the NBA. Yes, it's only 10 of 20. But the bottom line is the guy can shoot. He has one incredibly valuable NBA skill. And the fact he's on a two-way contract, the Warriors have his rights moving forward, and they better take advantage of it. I just think he'll be, could be a great addition moving forward, especially if they're serious about this youth movement they've been talking about for over a year. Damian Lee was fine. Alphonso McKinney was fine. You know, it was just a random bad game. Jordan Bell did play well, though. I'll give him that. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 offensive rebounds, which is good to see, especially on this team. So, I mean, that's about all I got on this one. It really doesn't matter. The most important thing about last night was how the standings were going to be affected. Now, the Warriors needed a couple of different situations to play out to get the standings in their best interest, which some happened, some didn't. You know, not everything's going to go your way. The Spurs and the Thunder both won their games. The Thunder beat the Bucks. Spurs beat the Mavericks to lock them into the 6-7 seeds, 6th and 7th seeds. Thunder are the 6th seed, Spurs are the 7th seed, which makes the Clippers the 8th seed, regardless of how their game ended. Which is the positive for the Dubs. On the other end, you would have liked to see either the Kings beat the Trailblazers or the T-Wolves beat the Nuggets to keep Houston in the 2-3 spot so the Dubs wouldn't have to see them until the Western Conference Finals, potentially. But the Nuggets had a great comeback against the T-Wolves. I was watching these games closely. These ones hurt. A great comeback against the T-Wolves, who were up 10 with, I think about 4 minutes left. And then the Kings, man, the f***ing Kings. They started their regular guys against the Trailblazers, who were literally only playing 6 players. 2 rookies, Scalabissé, Jake Lehman, Myers Leonard, and Zach Collins got about 12 minutes to, just give some guys a rest. But that's it. And the Kings were up 25 at half, and then the, super coach Dave Yeager decides to pull his guys and play his deep bench, who end up getting outscored 44-74 in the second half, giving the Portland Trailblazers a win. And here's the other thing. Portland was conceding that game by the fact they only played 6 players. And on top of that, the Kings finish with 39 wins. 40 wins matters to a team like the Kings. And Dave Yeager just to bed, and he's actually been relieved of his duties today. So because of the terrible Kings loss, the comeback win by the Nuggets against the T-Wolves, the standings go like this. It is the Dubs as the 1 seed, Nuggets as the 2 seed, then you have Portland as the 3 seed, Houston as the 4 seed, the Jazz as the 5 seed, and then you got OKC at 6, San Antonio 7, Clippers 8. So that first round matchup against the Clippers is what the Warriors want. But because of what happened last night in Houston falling to 4, the Dubs, assuming they beat the Clippers, will be taking on the winner of Houston and Utah. Assuming that's Utah, they would play the Rockets in this, or excuse me, assuming that's Houston, they would play the Rockets in the second round. And now the Thunder are matched up against Denver, or no, excuse me, they're matched up against Portland in the first round, and they take on the winner of Denver, San Antonio. So OKC could make it to the Western Conference Finals having only played Portland and either Denver or San Antonio, where Golden State will make it to the Western Conference Finals having played the Clippers and either Utah or Houston. So there's potential that the Warriors make it to the finals having played the Clippers, Houston Rockets, Oklahoma City Thunder, where the Thunder could make it to the Western Conference Finals, or the finals, so to speak, having only played Trailblazers and either Denver or San Antonio, and then Golden State. So I personally think OKC is headed to the Western Conference Finals. Or at the very least, they have an easy path to get there. Again, I'm, counting the eggs before they hatch or the chickens before they hatch. What's the term? Either way, I'm looking ahead. As we've seen in the NBA playoffs, just about anything could happen. Maybe it's Utah in the second round and San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. You never know. But if we're, playing the prediction game, it's looking pretty good for OKC. Still looking good for the Warriors. Just going to be a little more difficult than we would have imagined. But regardless, playoffs are here, finally. Last couple weeks of that weird regular season are over. We've made it. It's go time. Sadly, they don't start until Saturday, so another 2 days of no hoops, but we'll make it, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be awesome. This is what the Warriors play 82 games for, is to get to this point. So going to take a quick break, come back. I want to mention some of the coach firings today because there were a lot. And then get to the special segment with myself and my guys over at Locked On Clippers, previewing that first round matchup. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. If you're looking for Locked On Warriors or any of the great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, get the brand new podcasting app Himalaya and tell your smart device that you want to play Locked On Warriors or any team that you want, but really you should only be listening to Locked On Warriors. Let's just be real here. As I mentioned, I wanted to talk about some of the coach firings. One specifically that I actually mentioned earlier in the show is Dave Yeager was relieved of his duties as the head coach in Sacramento. Vlade Divac also let go. Brandon Williams was assistant GM. There was a lot of drama there, and I'm sure people get annoyed. I mean, well, not here on Locked On Warriors because we're all Warriors fans, but get annoyed at the constant Warriors comparisons, but the bottom line is there's a lot of parallels to the Warriors and the Mark Jackson tenure as the same up in Sacramento right now, where Vlade Divac had problems with Brandon Williams. Yeager had problems with Brandon Williams. That was the main beef there. There was beef about playing time, and there was just friction, very similar to Mark Jackson causing friction with Jerry West in the front office. At least with Mark Jackson, it was clearly Mark Jackson's fault. He was starting the tension. Yeager, some of it probably could have been avoided, but some of it was unavoidable. It's just interesting. It reminds me of when the Warriors let go of Mark Jackson. And it was after a 51-win season, playoff appearance. Things were going well. But it was understood that Mark Jackson, I mean, look, even to an inexperienced basketball eye, you could tell the Warriors weren't maximizing the talents of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Mark Jackson would run a bunch of post plays for Jermaine O'Neal. And so they needed a change. But the question was, you've just won 51 games. You need someone that can win at least that many, if not better. You need someone to come in, change the culture, change the offense, all that stuff. And they go with Steve Kerr. Obviously, hindsight, perfect hire, couldn't have worked out better. But initially, there's questions about it. I mean, he was a TV guy. And so what I'm basically getting at with the Kings is they won their most games in I don't know how many years, in 10 years, 39 wins. You know, obviously not incredible, but they were in the fight for the 8th seed for a long time. And they just need to find someone that's going to continue to help them take that next step because they got a ton of talent, etc. Basically, what I'm getting at is it's Luke Walton. And we heard rumors today that the Kings are interested in Luke Walton. I actually called this before the season even started, that Yeager would be let go. Walton most likely would be let go because of the LeBron situation. LeBron doesn't keep coaches on new teams that he goes to. And that Walton would be a perfect fit with this young team and the up-tempo pace that they should play. This was before the season, before Yeager actually implemented it. But what I didn't see coming was Yeager getting this team to have a solid season. But the bottom line, he's gone now. Luke Walton, we'll see, most likely was going to get released. But now with Magic resigning, who knows? But I would love to see Walton up in Sacramento. And that's basically what I wanted to get at. Walton, come back to Northern California. I would love it. I think he'd be great. Anyways, took a left turn there, started talking about the Kings and the firing of Dave Yeager. But it kind of relates because Walton is a former Warrior coach. And if Walton doesn't find another head coaching job, if and when he gets released from the Lakers, guess where he'll be? He'll be right back with the Golden State Warriors. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Maybe he just continues to be the head coach of the Lakers. That would be a little bit of an upset, but we'll see what happens. Anyways, I want to move on to the special preview I did last night with Locked On Clippers with my guys Charles Mockler and Will Updike. Look, you guys, Locked On Podcast Network has pods for every single team throughout the NBA, MLB, NFL, a lot of college teams covered too. So if you're interested in any other team or just want insight in any other team, you got to go check those out. But here is my segment with the other Charles, Charles Mockler, and Will Updike of Locked On Clippers.
How confident are you against the Clippers in a seven-game series?
Pretty confident. I can't lie. You know, we just talked about it. I think Will called it a retooling. Like, I love what the Clippers have done this year. And they're going to be you know, they're set up for great things in the future. I would say they might be a year ahead, though. So as great as it is, I just, you know, Lou Williams is great. Montrezl Harrell causes problems, all the accolades and stuff, but it's still the Warriors. So as far as seven games goes, I still pretty confident. Like, I think this is the matchup that they wanted.
I really like your take that we're maybe a year ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, I mean, we obviously exploded everyone's expectations.
Absolutely.
I mean,
everyone who cared to pay attention, which I still think is a pretty small amount of people.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense. You guys were kind of hoping for this matchup. Is there, I mean, we're kind of optimistic. And by optimistic, I think we can take maybe one game from you guys if Curry has to sit out because of his ankles.
I could see it even with Curry in. Like, you guys have the Clippers have the ability to get hot. I mean, that's the biggest thing is, you know, if you tell me Lou Williams goes for 30 and Trez has, you know, 25 and 10 and Shamit's knocking down shots, like, I could definitely see it.
Yeah, the Oracle is such a tough place to play,
mm-hmm.
and the Clippers don't exactly have a raucous home arena,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
I will say. So I think you guys...
It will be playoffs, though, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be playoffs. Do you think there's any chance you guys drop a game against the Clippers?
I could see, if I was betting on it, I'd probably not, but I could definitely see it happening. Like, if it happens, I would not be surprised.
You don't think it could, like, a cordial gentleman sweep?
Yeah, the gentleman sweep, I could definitely see. I mean, the Warriors have a history of not being completely locked in, of, I guess, knowing how good they are and, you know, just expecting to flip a switch, and sometimes it doesn't work. So I could definitely see it. And also, like I said, you guys can get hot. Like, they have enough playmakers, enough shooters, and also they get to the line so much that could be a huge problem, especially depending on how much DeMarcus Cousins plays and things like that. So I could definitely see it.
Yeah, do you see Bogut being a contributor pretty heavily in the playoffs or no? Because that was a good signing by you guys, but I think he kind of matches up. I think Trez versus Bogut kind of favors us just based on energy from Trez.
Yeah. No, I could the signing's been good. He's been better than I thought he'd be, honestly. I thought he'd just be like the 15th man, really, and the fact he's contributing is awesome. The interesting thing is, in that last regular season game the two teams played, Montrez and Zubac gave Cousins problems.
Yeah, they bodied him.
Yeah, so I could see maybe Bogut gets some more run, or maybe Kevon Looney's another option, even though he doesn't have the height to really deal with Zubac, or Jordan Bell, who's just been in and out of the rotation all year. Like, you never really know what you're going to get from him. But yeah, the center position is a worry for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I see that as our biggest, I mean, like, the biggest kind of, other than the line, our biggest kind of in for some sort of victory is, like, really just carving it out down low.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that people don't really talk about with Trez is I do think that he's, like, a pretty smart player and a cerebral player. And
yeah.
I do think that he wants to figure guys out. Like, he wants to figure them out. He wants to get in their head. And he wants to have a good game. You know, whether it's Bogut, whether it's Boogie, like, you know, it means that he always plays with a chip on his shoulder. So I think that that's something that, you know, that could be advantageous. But, you know, there's so many you guys have so many weapons. It's just,
yeah, I
bringing a knife to a gunfight. For sure. But
it's tough for sure.
It's a long knife.
I have to give you guys credit, though, or the Clippers, whatever. I love the Zubac move, man. I can't believe the Lakers let him go for Mike Muscala. Like,
man, so they not only let him go, they called Jerry West about that trade.
We didn't even inquire
about that.
Dude, shout out Jerry West. Part of the, he was part of the rebuild or the, you know, build in Golden State, and just what he's done with the Clippers. I was just telling you guys before we came on, it is probably my favorite storyline of the entire year. To see a team built, like, in real time, it's
and
just
Memphis
been incredible.
Too.
Yeah, definitely.
The thing that bothers me is that his son works for the Lakers, and his contract with us is up after this year.
Ooh.
And so I'm a little worried that he might go calling back to the Lakers if his son gets maybe a promotion.
Who knows?
But I'm going to worry about that when I worry.
It's possible. I trust Ballmer to open the checkbook, though. I think Ballmer's smart enough
to
do whatever it takes to keep him.
He has $40 billion to give.
Oh, that's it? I thought it was more. Never mind.
Do you want to see Curry sat at all? Like maybe those first two home games for you guys?
Just not, for longevity purposes, maybe?
Not really. They haven't been really forthcoming with much about the injury, but I think it's really minor. Like I think he could have come back definitely. In the game the other night. So if
and
they do feel
with Steph, I feel like gets a little blown out of proportion just because of history.
Steph and the ankles, forget it. We're gonna lose our mind. So I think he'll be fine. But if it's not, then yeah, definitely you sit him. But if he's good to go, you gotta play him.
For sure. Well,
is there anything you guys see with the Warriors that could be an opportunity or like a weak spot that you think they might be able to take advantage of? Or is
like
it just
I said, like the, I think that the post play, I think that if we can control the tempo, our transition defense has been getting better and better throughout the year. It's like been one of the few points where our defense is actually really, really solid. So I think that could stop a little bit of the momentum, especially on like transition threes. Doc mentioned it a little bit today in the post conference. And then, like I said, just if we can really grind it out in the post, if we can slow this game down and turn it into a very physical, very Clippers. I'm using air quotes. kind of Clippers match. I mean, I do think that is advantageous. And then obviously, you know, like you said earlier, just getting to the line.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
yeah, for sure. I got to ask one other thing as far as were you pulling for the Clips to make the playoffs this year? Or were you guys kind of sitting there like, you know, we could a draft pick might be nice. Like where did you guys stand with that?
So we didn't. With how much player turnover we had, honestly, after the Tobias trade, I think Will and I both thought we were kind of in a soft tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is where, like, if we make the playoffs, great. If we don't, that's awesome, too.
Yeah.
But the season's already been such a success. And we have, I mean, Shamit, Shea, and Zubats still all on their rookie deals.
It's ridiculous.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I was fine losing the pick. And, full disclosure, I don't watch a ton of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything I've read is that this draft is pretty weak other than the top four or five picks.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to get those anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like the narrative has now shifted from no one pays attention to the Clippers to the Clippers are so stupid for giving up their pick to Boston. But I feel like the thing is like right now, we have a kind of a wealth of young guys that we don't even have the time to develop. So I don't know what help adding a late pick would really be. So I would say that I was a little bit surprised that we made the playoffs. I had us pegged at like 43 to maybe 45 wins, and just like maybe narrowly missing the playoffs at the 9 spot. So I mean, I've been super surprised. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I just got to say I love that term. Soft tank. I'm definitely stealing that. That is great.
Yeah, I was like, that's advantageous.
We got a soft tank. We got a retool.
But yeah, well, I mean, appreciate you hopping on the call. I think
absolutely, guys.
Yeah, if we make it up to I'm sure we'll be texting throughout the game or something like that.
Oh, but for sure.
If you guys steamroll us, I hope you win the championship so we lose to eventual champs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Well,
likewise, guys. Likewise, if you beat us, I hope you guys get the ring.
Oh God, yeah. If we beat you, we don't win the championship. God help us.
Yeah.
Have a good rest of your night. Thanks for talking about it, Charles.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Big shout out and thanks to Charles Mockler and Will Updike of Locked On Clippers. Good dudes. They know their stuff too. You'll probably hear from them again throughout this first round series with the Clippers. And it's tough for me. Maybe it's tough for you guys to hear, but what the Clippers have done over the last 2-3 years to retool, as Will called it, is incredible. It's my favorite storyline in the NBA. And I still don't like the Clippers very much. I don't like Doc Rivers. I mean, he's a great coach. He's just a little annoying. But, you know, with CP3, Blake, DeAndre all gone, it's a different team, and it's hard not to envy what they've done. I mean, from trading Blake for Tobias, CP3 for, Montrezl Harrell and Pat Beverly and Lou Williams, and then letting DeAndre walk, you know, that one was fine. But then you know, moving Tobias for Landry Shamet and a couple of draft picks, and then getting Zubac for nothing. It's been incredible. It's been fun to watch. But like I said, they're a year ahead, and I think the Warriors most likely will sweep them. But it's also possible that they can get hot for a game. They have enough shooters and enough offensive players that they could get going. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, another one. I'm just going to continue to throw names out there. And it's not just that they got these players. They've been able to mesh them to make the playoffs this year. And if you believe the hype, like Kawhi Leonard is basically penciled in as a Clipper next season. We'll see what happens. But it's hard not to appreciate what they've done. Going to take one last break, come back, wrap this thing up for the day. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Normally, I'd give you league pass picks here, but no NBA for 2 days, man. So keep an eye on the league, on the firings, on the movement. Keep an eye on Luke Walton. That is a situation I'm very intrigued by because I think Jeannie Buss likes him. Who knows what's up with Rob Pelinka? Who knows what the future of the Lakers is going to be? And on top of that, I don't know how LeBron feels. LeBron likes to have his guy as the coach. If it wasn't for Pat Riley saying, no, I'm Pat Riley and I want Eric Spoelstra to be the coach, they would have moved on from Spoelstra, who is one of the best coaches in the NBA. So LeBron doesn't always have a good eye for coaching, but I don't see how it could continue to work in LA with Luke, but we'll see. I mean, no one thought Magic was going to resign. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on movement around the NBA. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors. And remember, you can subscribe to this show or any of the great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network on the new Himalaya podcast app. You can also get us at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Warriors. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be back tomorrow with another episode on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.